You're listening to IdgetCast, Season 2, Episode 17, Heart. In San Francisco, Canada, a woman is stalked by her ex-boyfriend, who may or may not be a werewolf.
Hello and welcome back to IdgetCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, here once again in Elk River and joined by my lovely wife, Darcy.
Meow.
That's Darcy, don't be fooled. Then down in down yonder Texas way, we have John Pavlich.
Paul married a cat.
Meow.
Yeah, I did. And over in New Orleans area, we have Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
And geographically forgetful Paul does not remember exactly where Malika is.
I am in Texas.
And she's in Texas. And Malika is joining us.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
We're all sort of in the same area down here.
Yes. And we're in the southern part of Minnesota, really. So
how are you guys?
It's practically down there.
This is not.
Okay, south.
But we're right down the river from New Orleans.
Right up the river.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm getting in a canoe and paddling my way up.
All right.
Take me a minute.
Wouldn't that be an image?
Yeah, I refuse to do physical anything, so it really would be.
You just need somebody to do the paddling for you. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, you need a burly riverman.
That's right. Or river just, woman.
Or river, a
yeah,
burly
no
river
thanks,
woman.
But
just come. Just
I don't
come.
Really want anyone burly at all. This, I think I'm just gonna fly. This sounds.
Come get me with promises of ice cream, and you know, and I'll sit there in the canoe and paddle for you. And you can sit there at the head of it with a big bullhorn and yell stroke, stroke.
Ew.
Done. Stroke.
This is so hot. I can't take it. Love it. Yes.
Man, I need to be on this podcast more. I need to get offers like this.
Stroke faster.
We don't need any fast.
Wait, you ate too much.
Oh, no.
Y'all need to stop.
All right. Should I get started?
Just think of baseball, Yvette.
The problem is baseball really turns me on. Tell me about pitch hitting.
Strike one. You're out.
Okay. That's what you got.
That's all I got.
I'm not sure that's the way baseball works, but okay, let's go on.
It's when I play it, damn it.
That works.
The cat's trying to eat that.
Okay.
No,
and it's hard.
Go away.
Got it.
Why doesn't she ever go away when we do this?
Because she loves podcasting. Kitty, do you love podcasting? Okay. All right. We should probably get started. We're on a semi-limited timetable here. So I'm going to start with our summary. San Francisco. Crowded bar. A guy, Nate, tries to get assistant Maddie to come back to the office on the weak pretense of finishing something by midnight. But he's not going to finish anything by midnight. It's not going anywhere, and he knows it. So then he asks for a lift, but she already called him a cab. Apparently he does this all the time, and it's more or less okay. But then she spots an ominous creepy guy, who then disappears once she's noticed him.
He has some bad greasy hair.
Does he?
Yes.
I didn't notice.
Blech.
I noticed the bad hair, I just didn't notice the greasy.
He needed it to get... He just definitely needed a shower and
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
She's spooked, and when she drives off, we see that he comes out of the shadows. But that's about that. The next morning, Maddie finds Nate dead, his heart torn from his chest. And that's the end of the cold open on the dropped coffee pot and the scream.
At that point, I was like, oh, she did it. I feel like I was.
I was just going to ask you.
Wow.
Yeah, Paul, I feel like I was the you of this particular episode. Yeah, I guess. I was just like, yeah. Yep, she killed him.
Yeah, for roadkill, for your reference, Malika, I watched the episode and I knew somewhere between the special guest star and the directed by exactly what was going on. I was like, oh, she didn't survive that accident.
Oh.
So, anyways.
The first time that I watched this, I don't remember when I keyed in on when she did it, but it definitely wasn't here. So that's pretty speedy.
I did key in on it before she was revealed, but it took a lot later.
Wow, I am so gullible. Wow.
At the coroner's office, Detective Sam checks out the body. The coroner says off the record that it looks like a wolf attack, but the report will read pitbull. And she looked really familiar, and I think we have feedback later on saying exactly who she is.
Okay, first I want to say that I'm really offended because I'm sitting next to a very sweet pit bull right now. Aww. So,
and I've known some very sweet pit bulls in my life.
Yeah, not an attacker.
Me too.
One of my dogs is a very sweet pit bull.
Yeah,
yeah. That's actually like a racist misconception that the ASPCA will tell you is wrong. Like,
so they have not approved this episode.
Oh. Yes.
PETA might have approved this episode, but the ASPCA did not.
Yeah, no.
Actually, PETA probably wouldn't have either. Yeah, because they did something bad to a dog later on. Spoiler. Anyway.
Something bad. In a, apparently...
I'm just...
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no, so I'm just going to hint at it. Right. I'm not going to say what it was.
Right. In a Chinatown, apparently, motel. Looks like Chinatown motel. Dean asks about the heart-free corpses, and Sam says this was the first male, but several women over the past year disappeared, washed up, deteriorated in the bay, hearts missing. All the women were hookers at Hunter's Point, and each month the murders happened the week before the full moon, and Dean is pumped.
Okay, still not paying attention, except for I heard the word hookers.
He was so gleeful.
Yeah, he was pumped.
It was so funny.
They haven't seen a werewolf apparently since they were children. They were kids. They saw one when they were kids. But Dean's ready. He has a whole box of silver bullets ready to roll. They go to talk to Maddie.
He goes, nope,
okay.
Nothing.
All right. They go to talk to Maddie, posing as detectives Landis and Dante.
Mm-hmm.
This would be
Is
a reference.
Is that a reference?
Yes. Yes. John Landis directed American Werewolf in London, and Joe Dante directed The Howling.
Yep.
And Gremlins.
Thank you.
So all of their code names are always references, and most of them I can get. This one I actually had to look up.
Yeah, well, because usually they're band members.
Yeah,
from some metal group, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
And I got the Landis.
Which is usually why I can get them.
I got the Landis instantly, and the Dante. I was like, okay, Joe Dante directed something. I wonder what it is. And then I had to look up The Howling, and I knew Gremlins already, but I knew he wasn't talking about Gremlins.
How do you know?
Because he was
Gremlins
talking about
could
werewolves.
Have done that to a person.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll get Gremlins some other time. Mm. Who knows?
They fed them after midnight.
That's right. Be careful.
She introduces them to neighbor Glenn, who happens to be there visiting. A nice guy who brought her a casserole and wears a church charity-run t-shirt, all of which screams, "Hi, guys, I might transform into a wolf." Maybe.
For real.
So did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I picked up on that I thought I knew that we were supposed to think that Kurt was probably a werewolf, and I had a feeling that they were kind of driving at it was supposed to be a misdirect for him. I was like, okay, well, he's going to be the misdirect. They're going to end up thinking he's the werewolf and he's not, or he really is the werewolf. You know, something. I wasn't sure exactly. I was thinking, yeah, he looks kind of wolfy.
I had no clue, really. I was so just playing along.
It turns out that Maddie was Nate's legal assistant for 2 years. He was nice, but not great with drinking and boundaries. She mentions her ex, Kurt Mueller, who was stalky and fought with Nate at the office. And she recalls seeing Kurt at the bar that night, but that nothing really happened, but Kurt does scare her. So they decide to check out Kurt, while Kurt is apparently checking out her outside on the sidewalk.
And when we say stocky, we don't mean like stocky, like short. You mean like stocky with an
like
O.
Like with an L. There's an L on there.
Stalky.
Stalky.
So, okay. I am confused a little bit. So, all right. So, okay. The church t-shirt guy was the real werewolf. Well, she was a werewolf. And then church t-shirt guy was a werewolf.
He was the prime the prime werewolf of the two of them. Yeah.
But boyfriend was not a werewolf?
Boyfriend was just a victim.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Perfect. He was a creep, but not a supernatural creep.
Okay. Just awesome.
Normal creep.
Ordinary creep.
Yeah, and if a guy's too creepy, you know, this early in the episode, you know he's not the guy. He's just a creep. So, human creep, which isn't any worse, except he just might not turn into a dog at night.
Yes, and, you have a better chance of running into Kurt than you do of running into a werewolf in your life.
Yeah, well, I mean, so you think.
Yeah, so we think, because, I mean, I have definitely known some people where, you know, I avoid them in the full moon.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Just saying.
It's a moon over Bourbon Street tonight. That's a music thing.
Oh, okay. I was like, probably. I mean, I could... So technically the way...
Go check.
Okay. So, no, really, like, so the way... So I live, like, half a mile outside the French Quarter, and the street that I live on, like, technically one street over would be the street that becomes Bourbon Street.
No, okay.
Like, if it keeps going that way. So it's technically tell you if the moon was over Bourbon Street, but...
It's a Sting werewolf song.
What is it?
It's a Sting song.
Sting. Okay.
About werewolfism, or at least about being a night stalking creepy guy.
Which is Sting.
He's got some creepy songs.
Yep. He does.
He's got that creepy tantric thing going on.
Everybody.
What? Don't smack me for that. It's true. It's documented.
Sometimes there's a very thin line between creepy and sexy. If it's okay, wait
listen
a second.
Up, listeners.
Yeah,
pay very close attention.
And Sting is right on that line.
Not for true.
No, yeah, that's real. That's so real.
Yeah, it's so real.
At Kurt's, they look around, and it seems like they might be being observed. By the way, the creepy camera angle happened. They find claw marks on the wall outside, and when they hear a shot, they find a cop in the alley. Short one heart. They go back to talk to Maddie and decide one of them should get out looking for Kurt and the other should stay with her. After a game of chance, Sam stays.
I did love that Dean used scissors.
Scissors.
Yeah.
I almost always throw rock, and I think Darcy knows it.
I do.
It's a psychological game. It's not a game of chance. You have to know your opponent.
Well, see, and now I'm setting it up so that I'll definitely be throwing paper next time, and Darcy's going to go, well, he admits he always throws rocks, so now it's going to be paper.
He's throwing paper, so I'm going to throw scissors,
Yep.
I totally thought that, too.
So your reverse psychology? Yeah, it's...
Well, except for now I have to reverse it back because I've just admitted to reversing it.
But I've got it. No worries.
It'll probably just be rock again.
You'll forget in 5 minutes. One more beer, you're all done.
My vote is with Darcy on this one. Let me know how it goes. Okay. I will be invested.
Okay.
I've always hated that whole thing of, like, you know, paper covers rock, and it's like, what the hell does that even mean? That doesn't...
Well, it's very simple, John. If you have a piece of paper...
Shut up. Shut your mouth. Listen. It doesn't defeat rock.
It does, because if you wrap up a rock with a piece of paper, you can't see the rock anymore.
But you can still dash someone's brains in with it.
But it's a hidden rock.
Well, you're dashing them with their brains in with
the paper.
Now
it's even more dangerous.
It's a stealth rock. Okay, let's just say that paper gives rock superpowers, so paper wins. Because it's the exponential that raises it. You just said it becomes a better
brain.
Rock.
Stop it.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Just, okay, paper covers rock. Done.
Oh, dear.
Don't think too hard, John. Let it go.
Grr.
Our
girl, I say.
That's appropriate for this episode.
Sam awkwardly hangs out while she mercilessly flirts with him, flaunting her underwear and watching soaps.
I don't know if she mercilessly.
This was pretty hard.
That underwear was just hardcore flirt.
Like, what the heck?
Here's my underpants. They're on the table. Check them out.
I don't read it that way.
Really? It was just like business, like la la la, fold my panties.
No, she was like, I like you, but I'm going to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, she was grinning the entire time she folded those panties.
I think that she was trying to make him, she was flirting, but she was also just trying to make him uncomfortable because she knew he was uncomfortable. So there's like a fine line.
Another fine line. Let's still pay attention.
But I think it's very telling that the thing she decides to do to make him uncomfortable is display all of her underwear. Like, it's just
because it's such an easy thing to make.
I was also thinking to myself, that's like 2 weeks worth of underwear. What, she don't wash that very often, does she now?
Or she changes it more often than you normal. Know. Yeah, because, I mean, she turns into a werewolf. She could be tearing that up, so, you know.
Well, yeah, but maybe she would just need to actually go out and buy more underwear if that was the case, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, she buy a bunch of underwear. She's like, oh, no, it's, like, halfway through the day. I need to wear my second pair, and...
Okay. Well, she calls it her entire collection, and it's like, that's got to be expensive. Like, if you're just...
Let me full disclosure here. I have an entire dresser full of nothing.
Me too.
So, like, that's yeah.
I have more underwear than I know what to do with. Now, I do. Never mind. I'm not going to go down that.
I literally did not do laundry for 6 months if I really wanted to.
Wow. I was going, wow. I can barely get through a week.
Well, that's because you're changing into a werewolf left and right.
Well, you know me.
It's all this, you know. If you go commando, like, you know, every third day, you're just gonna extend your collection. It's fine.
You know, I'm being a seamstress. I don't go commando. I know what people do in their clothes.
Amen to that.
So after the soaps are done, Sam asks her, you know, what the heck's the deal? You seem to be really smart. Why did you end up with Kurt? And she says that she was insecure, and then. But that all changed when she was mugged. That she really felt, you know, empowered to change things, and that she really had to take charge of her life after that. And that had me thinking, hey, she's the wolf.
Yeah.
So okay. So can we pause here? What do you think of this, like, newbies? What do you think about this, like, whole thing? Because, I mean, full disclosure, I'm not one for like. Romantic subplots and blah de blah de blah, like, that just kind of dulls me. And I'm not one for Sam. There's that and blah de blah de blah. I mean, I just, however, there is a reason why I chose this episode. What do you think about this? Like, what do you think about, because this is fairly new. We usually see Dean like macking on some girl, and, you know, Sam less so. I mean, do you like it? Do you not like it? What do you think?
It made me very uncomfortable.
I felt like it was, I don't know, this particular situation wasn't great for it, but I thought that it was about time, you know, that he'd gone like a year and a half since Jessica.
And did you like their dynamic?
He did a little flirty with the art auction girl, but.
Yeah, Providence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
did you like their dynamic, and do you like Madison? Like, the reason I'm pausing here is because, like, this scene is really meant to show the little flirty and little aren't they cute and all of that to set you up for later, obviously. But, mm-hmm. like, did it get to you?
It made me uncomfortable. That's
yeah.
that.
Yeah. That's yeah no, I thought, oh, well, they've got something in common. They don't know it yet, but, you know, they do have something in common with this whole blocking out and killing people thing later on. But yeah, no, I thought
I like you because you black out and kill people too,
just like me.
Let's get to start relationships, you know, something in common.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, when they finally get down to business at the end, they both know that each other. Or no, she doesn't know that he's killed people, but yeah. He knows that she's just like him. She's killed. She's known the taste of human blood. And maybe he has too. I don't know.
He can taste it on her breath.
Yes. Organ meat.
Ooh, I found something in your teeth right there.
Uh-oh. It's heartstrings.
So I thought that their dynamic, like,
Wait, what was that about?
Okay, I thought that their dynamic was really cute at first, like when they were like sort of flirting and like whatever. And then by the time it got to the sexy scene, I was like seriously uncomfortable with it. Just because I was just like, oh, I don't ever want to see Sam doing this.
Darcy averted her eyes. Spoiler alert, jumping ahead. Darcy averted her eyes, and the whole time I was like, on a purely this guy's been working out level, you should check this out. He's really, I mean, he's definitely been working on his look.
No.
And then when I said from behind, she just covered her eyes even harder. So.
So I think that I felt exactly like Yvette. Like, I liked their cute little banter, and I was like, oh, Sam's, like, not pissing me off this episode. And then when it got to that scene, I was like, oh, Sam should never. You should just know there's a reason why
put
it's always
away.
Deep.
Put that back in there.
No, not back in there.
Bad boy. Bad.
Well, not stroking this boat. We're going back to shore, damn it.
And Dean, meanwhile, is sticking with Kurt. He found Kurt, figured out where he is, and for some reason he's folding his bills, you know, not lengthwise, but widthwise. I don't know. How?
Like a freak.
Like a freak.
You know what I noticed? Like watching the episode this time that I had never noticed, you know, previously. The guy who plays Kurt, like, he doesn't have any lines.
No, he never says a thing.
Never says a thing. I just thought
they
that was interesting.
Less.
Yeah, they paid
yes,
him not
paid
very
him.
Much
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Either
just
that
sit
or
over here and look creepy.
I don't look up cast as a rule because I'm on an intro cast and a newbie, but maybe he was a crew guy. You know, like, you got that creepy look.
You haven't washed your hair all week and you kind of smell bad. Go stand over there.
You can be the next Bob.
It's like, I just need my SAG card. Can I just stand in this corner over here? Yes. Yes, you may. Just look greasy and glower.
Look
very
greasy.
Good.
Maddie goes to bed. Back on the stakeout, Dean's waiting in the alleyway, and he rushes into the apartment when he hears crashes inside. Kurt is there, as is Maddie the werewolf.
Surprise!
Dean wounds her before getting knocked out, and in the morning, Dean has Sam check out Maddie's arm for the wound.
What do you guys think of the fact that, like, they didn't do the typical werewolf thing where they get all, like, hairy and, you know, turn into a dog?
Yeah, the effects.
Yeah, I think I kind of liked it a little bit. It didn't have to be sprouting all that hair and everything always seemed a little implausible to me.
It's not so silly.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
I'm going to disagree. I like the whole, like, you know, like where it's like really painful and like their body starts to grow like crazy stuff.
I do too.
Breaking. Yeah,
so,
I like that
okay.
kind of.
Really. So let me ask you this. Knowing that this is a CW, limited budget, right? And knowing that
at the time it was the WB.
Oh, excuse me. The WB.
Kiss the frog.
So knowing that and knowing that, you know, it's going to be pretty bad effects if they try to convert them fully into wolves. Like, if they had a lot more pain and like, do you need to see the wolf type hairy stuff, or do you just need like all the painful transformation stuff?
They could, I mean, honestly, they could just allude to it and then give me, like, some stupid person in, like, a wolf costume. You know what I mean? Like, it could, like, her face is just like, oh, I can't take this anymore. And then you see, like, some weird, like, stupid rubber stretching, and then you see somebody running around like a big dog. Or just like a wolf. They could just have a wolf.
We're talking early Oz or late Oz?
They could do it with the silhouette. They could totally do it with silhouette.
Sure, shadows,
oh,
right?
That's a good idea. Yeah, like a
well, in this particular context, they needed to have them black out and not remember and also be recognized. So, you know, they're not going to have like a sequence where they're just like all in pain and, you know, conscious of like turning into a werewolf. So,
because she has to not remember that she transformed.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it could be painful when she could still not. I mean, people black out from traumatic experiences, and this could be one of them. I mean, I think I would have liked to see some angst and some bone cracking, but I don't think that I would need a furry. Like, I don't know. I like them to go, like, all wolf. Like, it's just a full wolf. That's what they transform into.
I do like a full wolf. And I can't remember what werewolf movie it was that I saw. It was kind of a long time ago. But one of they were shooting the wolf, you know? Mm-hmm. And the wolf, like, straight up, like, looks at the camera and wags its tail. And I thought it was the funniest thing in the whole world. Like, why didn't they cut that out? It was so cute. Like, I couldn't be scared after that.
It's like munching on someone's face and just like wagging its tail, like, I'm
exactly
happy. This is awesome.
Exactly.
Much
there
fun.
Was like a pack of wolves and like one of them like lifts up and just starts like, you know, making that like wolf smile and like wags its tail.
This
I was
guy
like, oh,
like
this is
peanut
such
butter.
So yeah.
Yeah, full on lycanthropy, full on transforming from a person fully into a wolf, like Rutger Hauer and Lady Hawk or something.
Okay, this one totally worked for me. I was fine with it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I haven't seen any, like, transformation where it's, like, a half-man, half-wolf thing that I've really, like, it always looks bad to me. So I actually preferred this one to that, but when they go full wolf, that's when I think that, I mean, I don't know, I think that works a lot better.
Really, probably in terms of transformations, like, you're not going to get any better than what Rick Baker did in American Werewolf in London.
Nope.
I mean, that's, they had to create an Academy Award category for that. So that they could give it to him, you know. It's like, and so it's like everybody should either it's like just like do something else if you can't even come close to that because you're never gonna.
Good point. Good point.
All right. In the morning, Dean has Sam check the Maddie's arm for the wound, and Sam ties her up. She seems genuinely confused and a little bit pissed off at Sam. Sam thinks that she might not consciously control the wolf, and considering recent events, he knows the feeling. Sam wants to try finding the wolf that got her because John had a theory about severing the bloodline to cure her. He does convince her to tell them about when she got mugged.
So, did you guys think this was gonna help?
I did. I hoped. I believed that it was working.
Yeah, I totally thought it was going to work. I liked that it didn't.
Yeah, actually, that was a pleasant surprise, or an unpleasant surprise, I suppose. Not exactly pleasant, but yeah, I was surprised, and I liked being surprised.
Yeah, I totally bought it.
So Dean goes off to Hunter's Point to try to find the wolf that's hunting the prostitutes there. And Sam swears that if she turns while Dean is gone, he'll shoot her. But not so much.
Who believed him?
I kind of believed him.
I didn't.
No.
Really?
I was just like, no, you won't, Sam.
I believed that he would do it. I mean, I didn't believe that he would bang her. I was kind of surprised by that more than
that's later on.
Yes. Yeah,
that's after the
point. We were all sadly hoping that that wouldn't happen, but
something I've never wanted to see.
I was fine with it.
Me too.
Okay.
Not okay.
Dean gets Glenn, the churchy neighbor wolf, with a silver bullet to the heart, which is what I wrote down to make save space. It's the neighbor guy. He had the church shirts on.
And yeah, had one churchy on, neighbor.
Had one on when he was a wolf, even. Silver bullet to the heart, and Maddie turns and Sam locks her into the closet. A handy closet with a huge chest to push in front of it.
It's a really big closet for an apartment.
Yeah, it was a house.
Well, was it a house or was it an apartment? I thought it was like part of the house.
Yeah, I mean, she was probably in a part of the house. I don't think
because she was like in the upstairs and it was her kitchen. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
why I was thinking that.
But. Yes, okay. And then in the morning, they say that we think that you're cured. Or they say that she is cured. But they're staking out her house in the front just in case she isn't cured. But she catches them staking out her house and invites them in to wait out the night together. They go all the way to sunrise, and Dean awkwardly leaves. Maddie joking because Dean thought that Sam was about to get laid. After a brief, awkward conversation, Sam gets laid. Again, and again, and again, and Darcy wouldn't look at any of it.
Shut up.
But that night, she turns again, and Sam is unable to keep her there. She flees right out the window and calls from a phone booth the next morning, realizing there's a good chance that she killed again. And it turns out that Bobby even has told them since that that isn't reversible. Everyone's saying that. Everyone says it's not reversible. Sam still wants to find a solution, but Dean admits to her that they know no cure. and she decides that she must be stopped for good. She wants Sam to shoot her. After an aside with Dean, where Dean offers to do what has to be done, Sam takes the gun, and as Dean rolls a single tear, we hear a shot, and then credits.
Credits. So this really bothered me, because I kept thinking about how she had talked before about, like, how she felt, like, more empowered than ever, and, like, you know, like, how she was, like, finally, like, living her life, and now she has to get killed. I don't know. It just... I guess I was thinking, like, there had to be, like, some workaround. Like, it could be, like, with Oz, right? Yeah. Where they, like, just lock her in a cage once a month. It's not that hard.
That's what I was thinking. And then...
Although they did sort of... I mean, they said that it was... That the murders were in the week leading up to the full moon, which sort of implies that it's more than just those 3 nights that they had to lock Oz up. She would have to be locked up a good part of the time.
Well, then do it.
That's got to be better than being dead, just being locked in a cage at night only. Like, you still get to have your days at work.
And plus, you don't even... Whatever. And plus, I mean, if you're successfully locked away, you don't even know that you spent the whole night in a cage.
Right.
You wake up in the cage and you don't know what happened the whole night.
Right. Well, he said, well, she's going to break out.
Yeah, eventually she'll break out, and when she does, someone's going to die. And that's the same thing for Oz, really.
Yeah, but... Still.
It seems like it just ignores the fact that she's like a normal person, you know, the entire rest of the time.
She's not just a monster. She's a monster and
Well, I think person. It, I mean, I think it helps that it's like, it's her decision. She's coming from the perspective of, if it means I occasionally kill someone, an innocent person, I don't think it's worth it. Like, I don't want to go on living, you know. Or, like, I don't want other people to die just so I can go on living.
Yeah.
Then lock her in a cage. I mean, I guess I just didn't... It seemed really easy, because then we never have to deal with her again, right? Or, like, see her again or hear about her.
And that's, you know, I mean, it's all, you know, for the sake of you know, TV drama. But, I mean, it's also sort of looking at the perspective of, like, oh, just lock her in a cage. And it's like, but there's a chance she could get out and hurt and kill someone. You know, it's happened on Buffy, you know, with the character Oz. Like, there have been instances where he's gotten out and killed someone, and it's like, yeah, he feels bad, but they don't really, they just like, well, accidents happen, and then they just go on. And she's coming at it from a perspective of, like, if there's even a slight chance that that can and will happen, then I'm choosing to take myself out of the equation.
And to be honest, I actually, like, kind of commend them for doing this. I mean, not for her for making the decision, but, like, in so many TV shows, you would have seen, you know, I don't think it's, like, a TV thing to do to, like, kill her, like, honestly.
No. Well, yeah. that's what I like.
Me too. You know,
spoiler alert, I really like this episode. And what I like about it is it's just like the pilot of Angel, where it's, like, sometimes you lose.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't save everybody. And that's a very progressive, like, good thing for TV to do, because normally it is, you know, oh, we wrap everything in a bow, you know, they do their job, and the good guys always win and the bad guys always lose, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to not sort of see it, and this is me reading way too much into it, but, like, it's hard for me not to see it as, like, some kind of allegory where, like, she experienced, like, extreme trauma, and then she was able to, like, find a way out of it. And occasionally, like, her rage wells up and, like, she takes it out on someone else. And then rather than have rage, the best thing to do is to, like, end it all. Which I know is not what they're going for at all with this, but it was really hard for me not to, like, see, like, some deep feminist message in this, you know? Mm-hmm. Especially because, you know, like, werewolves and ginger snaps, you do have, like, that.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think that it was her choice, you know? That's where I thought, and, you know, I really did like the fact that, I mean, I really, really like the fact that, you know, she was assaulted, and then from that she got all this power and it changed her life. Like, I really like that, because you so often see the victim side of things. So when it went that way, you know, I thought it was a really strong message, and I appreciated that. I mean, tying that into, like, her decision in the end is a little bit different, but it also, like, I mean, this isn't explored, I mean, at least not in this episode or whatever, but, like, was that the right decision, right? You know, could they have found, like, with time, like, a cure for her? Or, you know, could that they have, with time, like, you know, caged her up or found a lot better solution? Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, it's kind of one of those things of, like, sometimes life is life, and sometimes you make mistakes, and sometimes, you know, you're like, I can't see any way out of this. Mm-hmm. And she made the decision because she didn't want to hurt people. And I don't know. In some way, I see that as a strong decision, even though there could have been other ways
to
solve
it. It's self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's basically, yeah.
So just a off thought. This has nothing to do with the television program.
Okay.
But you guys are talking about caging people up and, you know, people who have done really bad things, killed people. So what do you think? So is this something we should add to our prison system? If you want to just opt out, shouldn't you be allowed to do that?
Well, they in certain states, they do have that. It's called like the right to death or something like that, mm-hmm. where like if you're like, let's say you're suffering from a terminal illness, mm-hmm. and you can choose like, no, I don't want to live anymore.
Right. Hmm. Right, but say you're being locked up in prison because you are a very bad person. You know you're a very bad person. Mm-hmm. You know that there's no chance of reform.
Right.
Should you be able to opt out? Should you?
Well, they usually – they probably you would probably enter into some sort of legal issue behind that, because usually when you're dealing with someone who is like just a stone cold killer and there's no chance of reform, mm-hmm. it's usually because they're crazy and not in their own sound mind.
Mm-hmm. True.
So they would just like, yeah, like they're not in the position to make that decision for themselves.
Well,
so they wouldn't even present them with the option.
Yeah. I suppose.
Hey, we're
a hard question.
Yes.
It's a hard one.
Yeah. I don't even know why I'm thinking about that. But.
I think that's actually a really good thing to think about, because it is analogous. It's like, well, if you're a hardened killer, what options are there?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're never going to stop.
And she also like took the choice out of their hands, because they were divided on it too, right? So like it wasn't for someone else to decide. It was like for her to decide.
Right.
Because that's something that, you know, they obviously differed in their views on, and it would be putting them in a really hard position, you know. And so I don't know. I think that there was some power in that, because they haven't encountered, you know, I mean, they did the best they could to try to, like, you know, like kill the maker and see if that worked, and after that they didn't have any other options because they've always killed. So it's kind of an interesting like moral quandary for them. But then in the end, like, you know, I just kind of liked it that fine. Like, it wasn't necessarily one of the Winchesters that made the decision.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had asked this a while back on the IdgitCast spoilers page. Mm. Who cried, if anyone?
Not me.
No crying, no.
Oh, yeah. You mean
for
like
this?
Yeah, the episode. Did the episode make you cry?
No.
I thought you meant one of them.
Oh, yeah. No,
like,
yeah,
I was like,
who was
Sam?
Sam was bawling like a baby.
Yeah.
A big old handkerchief.
I don't usually cry at things. I'm like,
okay.
I don't typically if it's a single episode romantic fling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, TV doesn't make me cry very much.
And it has
I'll go ahead and admit that even though I've seen the episode numerous times, and I thought I was going to be okay, like, yeah, I've seen this a bunch of times, it's not going to get me. And then as soon as they cut to Sam's face and he just tears streaming down his face, I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Aww.
Yeah, it's not to say that I didn't feel anything. Like, I definitely did. I just don't usually cry at things like that easily.
Right.
But one of the reasons why I chose this episode is because, it got to me, because, you know, I thought that they would. I was like, oh, typical thing. Like, I did figure out she was to blame before, or, you know, she was a werewolf before, not as early as Yvette, but I did figure that out. And then I just assumed that they would cure her and then all would be well. And then the fact that it didn't kind of threw me. And then the fact that, you know, they made the decision that they did threw me. And yeah, I mean, there were feels.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, we're to the somewhat awkwardly for this episode. Titled segment, Who Wins, Sam versus Dean?
Oh, man.
I'm going to have to give it to Sam.
I'm going to have to give it to Sam.
That never happens for me, but...
He made a connection.
He made a connection, and then he stepped up and did the job that had to be done.
Right. That was going to be my argument. It's like, that's really all you can sort of, you know... It's like he wins by default in a weird way.
But didn't he, like, actually, like, you know, pop his cherry on this?
He did get some. So,
you know,
there is
I mean, on the TV
on show.
You know, on show. So, like, I have to give it to him for that. I mean, come on. I mean, he may have, like, started to move past just before, but, like, this was like, yeah, this girl. Then she dies, but, you know, whatever.
I didn't know when she was a hot lady, so get it,
Sam. She was hot.
Sorry to kill her, but...
So you're basically like, get it, Sam, just as long as I don't have to look at it.
Exactly. Like, get it in a dark room with this...
Away from me.
Turn out the light!
I gotta tell you, that's how I feel about most people, John. Like, get it, I just don't want to have to, like, look at it or think about it. I want everybody to get it.
All right. Does anybody have any fantastic quotes that they like in this episode?
Oh.
I have one. Dean, always with the scissors.
Sam says, maybe when the creature takes over, she blacks out. And Dean says, like a really hot, incredible Hulk.
Yeah, it's called She-Hulk, you jackass. Yeah.
I like She-Hulk.
I love She-Hulk. I just have, what a bitch. And how prophetic.
Oh, yeah. And they're watching that soap opera.
Yeah, and I'm like, if you only knew, Sam, who you're sitting next to.
Damn that, Laszlo.
All right. We do have one piece of feedback from Heidi. Right.
Yay.
And Heidi says, hey, guys. Once again, we have a guest actor that I know. Emmanuel, I'm going to go
think
with...
I think it's Voyeur.
Voyeur?
That looks
Is
right.
Is it Voyeur?
Yeah.
Okay.
Voyeur.
Voyeur. Yeah. Played Madison, and she was on Smallville. She actually married Lex Luthor.
Oh really?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. She's also on Lost Girl, which is a Canadian show, which I quite like.
I think she's Canadian.
At least Lost Girl, I would recommend to people at least the first few seasons. So if you haven't caught it, it's definitely genre-y. So
I think it's also, I think it's streaming on Netflix. So
yeah.
All right. And
so y'all, I could be wrong, but I also thought she was on Veronica Mars.
She might have been. Really? I'd have to look her up.
That's where I recognize her from, but I could have been wrong.
Well, of all of us, you're allowed, John, so if you wanted to, you go ahead. But if you don't want
I'll do that while we're going on.
And Heidi's still playing Six Degrees of Joss Whedon as well, so she connects James Marsters, who was also on Smallville.
Yep.
That links back up to Joss Whedon.
A thing we do.
And another one, the ME, the medical examiner, is Terrell Rothery from Stargate SG-1. She's in practically every genre show at some point, usually playing some kind of doctor. And I didn't recognize her from Stargate, but I definitely recognized her.
I'm telling you, San Francisco, Canada.
Yes.
I have actually not watched that show.
The dogs are barking. Look out for Terminator. So sorry, wrong show. When Sam said that they would settle it the old-fashioned way, it looked like they were about to arm wrestle. Dean needs to try rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock, although he'd still probably always choose scissors. Laugh out loud at Sam watching soap operas. Sam, most girls would not take unusual as a compliment. This is another episode in which things are not what they seem. The girl is the monster once again and doesn't know it. I really like this one. But it should have been further away from Roadkill in its airing order.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Sam and Dean need to get Giles to build them a werewolf cage.
Really quickly.
Okay.
Yvette was right. She was in Veronica Mars in Eccles Family Christmas.
Oh.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Wasn't she the crazy girl who...
Yep.
Like, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Right. I knew I wasn't cray-cray.
Yay.
Continue.
All right. Speaking of Veronica Mars, hey, Yvette, you know how I can never recognize Madison Sinclair? The prostitute kind of looked like her, but I don't think it was.
I hope that it was.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody recognizes Madison Sinclair ever.
I think I got
just
it down
that blonde chick.
I got it down by the movie. Right? Okay. I don't know. This is always the sad thing about werewolf stories. They're all really victims. Most of the time, they don't even realize what they are, but they had to kill Glenn in order for Madison to stop being a werewolf, and then that didn't even work. Why can't they just find somewhere to lock her away at night? I think I've seen too many werewolf shows like Buffy and Being Human. This logic just doesn't work for me. Yeah, she might get out, and obviously Sam and Dean can't watch her all the time, but I feel like there was a better solution here. Anyway, I have mixed feelings on this one. Until next time, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi, so much.
Thanks, Heidi.
All right. Are we ready to rate this?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, who wants to go first? I can if anybody... Okay, I'll go first.
I can go.
Okay, you go.
Yeah, I really like this episode a lot. It's sad. It's you know, kind of fun in the sense of, like, you know, you can actually get swept up in, like, you know, oh, well, who's the killer? Oh, is it that person? Oh, it's that person. So I like all of that. It's nice to see Sam, you know, like, basically get over Jessica. But of course, it's also sad that, you know, what happens afterwards. So yeah, just this episode just works for me in terms of, like, just grabbing me and making me cry. So I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 silver bullets.
All right.
Damn it, John. Okay. That was my rating system.
So, we've all seen takes on the victim werewolf in the Whedonverse, although taken seriously, it never really came down to realization that the living werewolf means that eventually someone's going to get killed no matter what, the precaution. I figured out Glenn early on, and I even, you know, figured out Maddie when she was talking about her mugging, but it had enough originality to raise it above last week, where I also predicted it fairly early on, or much earlier, actually, but... So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 old yellers.
Nah. For me, I really did enjoy it. It kept me guessing. I was led along just the way I was supposed to be, and I felt bad for Sam. I felt bad for a sweet lady. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 baskets of panties.
That's mine.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Okay.
Malika, you go next.
Okay, I loved this episode. It actually surprised me because, you know, I was going along at a fairly good clip watching this. And this one surprised me, and it surprised me because I don't usually like this type of this type of episode. Meaning that it was, like, you know, heavy on the romance, blah, blah, blah. But I thought there's some really good twists and turns and unexpected things for TV, which I always appreciate. I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10 bitches.
So talking to y'all has actually made me like this episode more than I liked it initially.
Yay!
You're right. I do like that it was her decision. I still have the same issues that I had with it before, but it was interesting at least. Like, I didn't want to fall asleep at any point during this episode. And that is really the mark. That is really the mark of a good Supernatural episode, if I can say so. All right. So I'm giving this one a 7 out of 10 dog whisperers. So that gives this episode a 7.9. So pretty good.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. All right. Hey, Malika, thank you so much for coming back on with us.
Thank you for having me.
And we definitely look forward to having you back around at some point, if you will.
I absolutely will.
Absolutely. Yay. Very good. Do you have anything that you want to promote or advertise or plug?
Oh, right now I'm on a Terminator intro cast called What We Make. Mm-hmm. And right now we're towards the end of season one.
I made the cover art for that podcast.
Yeah, you did. I think we gave you a shout out on that too. And then I occasionally write for Project Fandom, and I do TV recaps for them. Right now is an off season, but I did The Americans, and I'm going to do The Man in High Castle when it comes on the Amazon series in the fall.
Did that get picked up for a fall?
Yes, it did. But we don't have a start date on it. But when comes back. I will be writing recaps for that. So
I loved watching that pilot, and I was really hoping it would go.
Yeah, it was really good. So that's about it.
All right. John, what's our homework for next time?
Homework for next time is Season 2, Episode 18, Hollywood Babylon, which there will be a Noobentary for.
All right.
So that'll be the next thing we do.
All right. So this one's Hollywood... hey, you know, I called Black Dahlia earlier. Maybe this will be it. Maybe they'll find a supernatural twist in the Black Dahlia.
Ooh, I hope so. I hope you're right.
That'd be neat. All right. So I guess I'll say at this point, thanks again for everybody one more time, and happy hunting.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Bye. As we said last week, since the recording of the preceding episode, John's mother, Toni Flores, has passed away. If you would like to help John out, there is a GoFundMe page. A link is provided in the show notes and will also be pinned at the top of the Facebook group. Please give if you can. Thank you.